You are a sound major, Brian, right?
I am, okay. Yeah. hello, welcome to Yahoos with Microphone, a group of friends who want to get together, talk about movies, share our opinions with you, whether you like them or not. This is for the huge, gigantic, enormous box office smash, broke a whole lot of records, Spider-Man. This is our second go of it, actually. We all kind of agreed that the first one wasn't that terribly great, so we're going to take another stab at it. And I'll just go ahead and start off by saying I like the opening credits.
Aren't you going to introduce us, Brian?
I guess so. I'm Brian Scuttle, musical movie critic. To my immediate right is Ronnie Haynes.
Snooch to the nooch.
And to my far right is David Miles. He's sort of our moderator here, make sure we don't go
Brian and I don't kill each other
off
here.
Subject. And
I'm the only sane one here.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, Brian, you were talking about the credit sequence, which I didn't really get a buzz off of, that positive a buzz off of anyway, the first time I saw it. It does kind of grow on me, though. It gets a little bit more inventive every time I see it. I just wasn't crazy about it the first time. I thought it was a little overdone, a little over the top. I thought, you know, it was a little bit too, look how much money we have, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, I think there's some forgivable comparisons to the original Batman credit sequence, but all in all, the first time I saw it, I thought it was a little over the top and a little too showy, a little bit too, you know. Why I like the original Batman credit sequence so much is because it was so simple and it was models and it wasn't a overdone, over the top computer animated sequence, and so that's my. But like I said, it gets more inventive, I think, every time I watch it, and it does kind of grow on me. But at the same time, I still have a little bit of a problem with it.
Yeah, it's very stylized. Mm-hmm. It's definitely very stylized.
Very Sam Raimi-ish.
Sam Raimi-ish, yes.
Yes,
and
that's a good.
I'll talk about Sam Raimi a lot on this. He obviously directed the movie. I know he's a big fan of the Spider-Man comics. It's funny, before we did this, Daredevil hadn't come out yet. Now that it has and we've all seen it, I can say that I sort of felt like that the opening credits sequence
was kind of similar.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a little similar.
It's like Batman is the defining one that everybody seems to be copying off of.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Batman is a very definitive opening credit sequence, I think, and probably.
I do like how it goes to the actual live action picture with the spider web.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
It's pretty cool. Nice little voiceover by Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire does a good job of the voiceover. That was obviously a big part of the comic book. I have very limited knowledge of the comic book, but at the same time, what I do know, I think, what was inquired into the movie pretty well.
Very well, as a matter of fact.
Kirsten Dunst, the lovely Kirsten Dunst, who I just wasn't impressed with her performance in this. I don't think she's really done anything for me since probably Interview with the Vampire. I think she was a great child actress, kind of similar to the way I feel about Drew Barrymore. I think Drew Barrymore was, like, phenomenal in E.T., but then, like, she got older and got less interesting, in my opinion.
Well, we can talk about Drew Barrymore when we do E.T.
Sure, but, yeah, I mean, that, I'm just... I'm
talking
just,
about Kirsten Dunst.
My opinion of her is similar to mine of Drew Barrymore, is that she just got less interesting as she gets older. She's still a beautiful girl, and she has a lot of presence to her, and you know, and she keeps you captivated, but not
hot.
Yes,
she is very attractive.
But I don't think she keeps me captivated enough for this movie, I think a lot of guys supposedly fell for her character in this movie, and I just didn't necessarily find myself really falling in love with this character, which I think you want to find yourself doing, you know, especially in a high concept movie such as a comic book movie. You want to find yourself really falling for the characters, really caring for them, really growing an affection for them, and I just didn't find myself doing that for Kirsten, so.
Yeah. Let's see. I had something I was going to say, but I cannot remember.
I can't remember. I don't blame you with the
way.
Oh,
yeah. I was going to mention is, like, where is Jennifer Garner going back to Daredevil? I know we were both.
Well, Brian, we can talk about Daredevil when we do Daredevil.
That's true.
I like this scene right here, though.
This is a good scene. Not a bad scene between
Willem Dafoe and James Franco, who I really like. I did really like James Franco in this movie. I thought he did a pretty good
James
job.
James Franco was later in Saved by the Sea with kind Robert like De Niro and Eliza Dushku. Willem Dafoe, best known for Shadow of the Vampire, which he was nominated for an Oscar for.
Platoon.
Last Temptation of Christ.
And Speed 2 Cruise Control.
That dreadful.
Another classic. Yeah, I really I can't say enough about James Franco. I think he did a really good job. I mean, I usually am not a fan of Pretty Boys, but I think he did a pretty good.
Is he really a pretty boy?
He's more of a pretty boy than Tobey Maguire.
But I mean, he's not at Freddie Prinze levels.
No, but exactly. I usually cannot stand like Freddie Prinze Jr. types or whatever. And but you know, James Franco was one of the very few people, along with Tobey Maguire, who I really felt I was taking along for a ride with, for the story and whatnot. So, anyway, but can I just say that I have a huge problem with the teacher on the field trip here?
Mm-hmm. It's because he's black.
No, yeah, that's exactly what it is, Dave. I'm just saying that. beside the fact that he looks like he should be going to school with these kids. Besides that, I just think he looks, not necessarily even the way he looks, you know, besides the fact that he looks really young, but just the fact that he's just, I'm sorry, but, you know.
I think that teacher's cute, though.
I'm sorry, but I just think
she's more of a scientist, though.
I'm sorry, but, like, the teacher on this field trip is just kind of a tool, I think. I mean, I know that's not the best way I could defend what I think of him, but I just think, you know, I don't know. I just have he almost ruined the first act for me. That's the best way I can describe it.
And when you told me that for the first time, I couldn't believe it because of the fact that it's like he's not even in the movie like 5 minutes.
I know, but like I just had such a problem with him. I had
it's
such
like
a problem.
Flash, I know you have problems with as well.
Flash,
I can see you have.
Yeah, Flash is a tool. Flash is also a tool.
I guess you're just not projecting yourself. Like being next to these guys, actually being
Flash
chewed out
is just
by the
a tool.
Teacher,
no,
actually
I'm so,
getting the crap beat
I'm
out
sorry,
of you, Flash.
But no, I'm
Are
just
you
saying,
sure?
I'm positive,
okay.
I'm positive. But I'm just saying, like these characters that you know. I mean, yes, they're just very small supporting roles, but I mean, I just want to believe especially a comic book movie. I just want to believe every aspect of it. I want to be right there with every character, and I just had an enormous problem with the teacher. And then, of course. Also with Flash, which I think you guys actually do agree with me on, is that he was just not a very interesting bully or protagonist, I don't think.
Bullies, by their very nature, are not very interesting.
But,
could psychoanalyze them to death, but the bottom line is they're just not that interesting.
What I like about Kirsten Dunst is when she's not talking. They got the look right. You know,
she
the,
did.
The,
yeah,
the
she
the
looks
of the girl that you
Mary
know,
Jane from the comic
yeah,
book.
Yeah,
she
yeah,
looks.
Yeah.
yeah, she fits. She fits the description
right.
brilliantly. But again, I'll just talk about Flash once more until we get to another point where I really want to rant about him.
Yeah.
But like I'm talking about like we're also planning on doing a commentary for Back to the Future Part 2, and Biff, played by Thomas F. Wilson in that trilogy. I thought, you know, he was an interesting bully, you know. I think, you know, even though he was a bit of a bigger, he was a bigger part of the story for those movies. I think, you know, just the Flash just does not. I mean, I'm sorry, but he's just a tool. I'm sorry, that's the best way I can describe it. But anyway, let's go back to
the scene that we're on.
The scene that we're on. Yeah,
this scene is
Tobey Maguire gets.
And this is supposed to be the one of the
it was a radioactive.
It was
now
in the comic books.
Genetically enhanced supers.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was a decent update of the idea.
Yeah, and that was a huge controversy with fans when it first leaked that was what they were going to do with it. It's like, but no, it does work out well.
That's
you know,
kind
of
cute.
Do
don't make me look ugly. I don't think that can be possible.
That's not
cute.
Possible. In the
that's not. That's it's cute.
So
yes, yeah. But
Kirsten Dunst. Well, you were saying how it's like she hasn't really done much for you since then. You with Vampire. Never seen her in Virgin Suicide.
I think she's just
excellent
she's just another pretty face.
Really,
I really do.
really, really wonderful. And Catch Me Out, if you ever get a chance to see that. It's a small independent film, but it's very fun.
I think she's just another pretty face, but that's just me.
They did a great parody of this. They do always do great parodies of movie scenes on them. But the MTV Movie Awards is a wonderful one where the spider had, like, the head of Jack Black.
I think the if I'm not mistaken, in the comic book, again, I have very limited knowledge of the comic book, but if I'm not mistaken, I think the spider dies immediately after it bites Peter Parker in the comic book. So that's, I think that was a little interesting. But, you know, that obviously that wasn't cinematically important enough for the. Now, here we go. We're starting to intertwine the two main stories of the movie with Peter Parker and Spider-Man and Harry Osborn and the Green Goblin. And I just wasn't impressed enough with the. It's supposed to be another really important element of the movie. Just the two stories like intertwining and. Both characters having their origin stories going on at the same time. I just didn't think that was done well enough.
Well, it's kind of hard to do because of the fact that their origins are so different. I mean, you know, Peter's is the one that's the most important one, and it's naturally going to be the more engaging one because of the fact that, I mean, he's your main character. I mean, this is just a villain. It's
right.
Like watching Jack Nicholson become the Joker and
which was
Batman,
a lot more interesting in my opinion.
It's interesting, but the bottom line is it just, you know, it doesn't really engage you. And I
think that's, like, throughout the whole movie, I don't think they gave William Dafoe enough.
Willem Dafoe.
I apologize. I don't think they gave him enough.
Dave just got
his. They didn't give him a good enough script. They didn't give him enough part, enough screen time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know.
The script by.
He was really.
For how awesome he is, they just didn't give him enough.
He was really underused, and
the script by.
He did not reach his full potential here. I don't think.
Yeah.
In this
script by David Koepp, co-writer on, I believe, the first two Jurassic Park movies. Panic Room.
All based on a original treatment by James Cameron, interestingly enough.
Yeah, James Cameron was attached to this for a while, and right now it doesn't look like he's ever going to do anything after Titanic.
Well, he probably, he's, you know...
I think he's doing another
He's got
Titanic
money up the ass,
actually,
so, yeah.
But... Cliff Robertson, and, you know,
Rosemary Harris, the wonderful
Uncle Ben. These are two excellent characters right here.
These are a little cliche, I think, but I think they're, for the most part, they're pretty sweet and they're pretty.
Yeah, you really get to like these characters.
I hate that word. I hate talking in cliches. I hate cliches. Period. But I will say that this is a little cliche, but at the same time, it's.
I mean, they make it heartfelt enough. So the characters' performances are so strong.
So.
And here we have Peter coming back.
This is me every day after school coming home and just. Yeah.
Adam Bite.
Oh, I never caught that. I never caught that. That is pretty funny, though. That actually is pretty funny. Adam Bite.
Not hilarious, but I mean, it's clever.
And I want to point out that I actually thought this was interesting when I found this out, but that is not Tobey Maguire's body there. That's some other skinny 98-pound weakling's body matted on to Tobey Maguire's. It's probably my body, actually. Matted on to Tobey Maguire's. Matted on to Tobey Maguire's body because, you know, we all know that he got pretty buff for this movie, which. I like the little detail of, like, seeing the spider bite there. I think that's neat.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I hated every aspect of this movie because there are some really neat ideas in this movie. There's
Plus, you've seen it like four or five times for a movie you're not a fan of.
This transformation sequence right here, I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
But there's better transformation sequences out there. There's always a hero transformation sequence.
It's a callback to the cheesy credits, I thought, also. But anyway, to the credits that I thought were a little overdone. But here's
another cheesy transformation.
Here's our cliche mad scientist.
This is even worse.
I think this is even
the previous
worse,
one
yeah.
that we just saw.
Mm-hmm.
Again, William Dafoe.
William Dafoe.
Tries hard.
He really,
it really doesn't work.
Admittedly, the more I've seen him, this performance, sadly, I have to say I've been less impressed
again,
with
just,
it. I mean, it's very hammy, very over the top and stuff. Especially here.
Yeah.
So he
very
tried to work out for the part. That didn't work out either.
No.
The voice is too old.
But I wonder if they might have Willem Dafoe's body on the Tobey Maguire. Anyway.
Doubt it.
Probably
anyway.
Not.
You're obsessed with that for some reason.
No,
that's
I'm
why.
No, I'm not.
But, well, okay, maybe not, but you're certainly going off about it a lot.
Well, it's called humor, Brian. You have to keep it going or people will want to not listen
humor?
To this.
We're people, trying to be insightful. All right,
okay,
all right,
yeah. That's, see,
really
that's what Dave's here for.
Either way.
That's what Dave's
right
here
now.
For. Anyway.
Back to the movie.
That's what Dave's here for. Like we said, he's our moderator. He's going to keep me and Brian from killing each other.
Yeah,
but
spent 16 minutes on the movie talking about, like, four subjects. Yeah.
But,
Yeah, just that's not a good transformation scene.
No,
it's not very good.
Not very interesting
just
at all.
Just doesn't have the whole
not
of,
feeling
like,
it.
The joke
but,
going in.
But do we want to point out
Jack Napier going into acid?
Yeah.
In the Tim Burton Batman.
And I mean, they try to show you his muscles enlarging there, things happening over there on the computers, but you're not seeing anything.
Yeah, no.
Here.
If it's not, I mean, again, it's like the computers are more like just like look how much money we had, look how much money we wasted, I should say. On overdone computer generated effects and
but for that I think they just wanted to cheat because they really couldn't do anything with Willem Dafoe's nasty body.
No, but no. Do we want to talk about how much Brian and I agreed on how great the Danny Elfman score was? We
do. That is true. We haven't talked about that
that's
yet.
That's one
Danny
of the
Elfman
few things
score,
that, which
admittedly I was not a huge fan. Not to, I was not a huge fan of it when I first heard it. I wasn't impressed with it. I'm like,
oh, neither was I.
It was,
neither was I.
Okay. It's not as good as
it's
Danny
something else that has to grow on you.
It was disappointing when you think about Batman and
right.
Men Black and all
right.
those great scores.
The lack
done
of a,
in the, past.
The supposed lack of a theme.
But
which,
then.
But no, but if you give it another listen, afterwards, maybe, you go out and buy the.
This is a fun scene here.
Yeah.
Brian, did you say this is like every guy with a pair of glasses dream to like wake up in the morning and
I mean it'd be wonderful. I mean it's like hey, don't need these anymore.
Every other guy.
And this
dream.
Is every other every other skinny guy's dream to like wake up one morning and it's like
damn.
Yeah,
that's pretty
fun. Yeah, yeah. Lots of yoga, I think. Tobey Maguire said he did some yoga, some weights, some gymnastics, I think, even to get in shape for this.
Boy, had to eat some different stuff.
He had, I want to know what store he shopped at.
He probably didn't even shop at a store.
he probably had his assistant.
Probably had somebody do it.
he probably.
Now,
like
draw
Albert
your own
Einstein.
Conclusions here. You can see her bedroom from
lucky
his
bastard.
Window.
I like the
bastard,
I like the Albert Einstein poster on the wall. I thought that was kind of a neat little.
What poster is that back there?
That's a nice little.
Now that staircase was built specifically for that move. I think.
Yeah.
I heard that somewhere in the extras.
Probably like $30,000-$40,000 built just for
just
one
that
little
one
move.
Little scene. Which again is just
yeah. Anyway, going to Tobey Maguire and Peter Parker. I remember reading Sam Raimi say that he wanted to. He wanted to cast Peter Parker. He didn't want to cast Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And,
who else was up for the part, Brian?
I think
Freddie Prinze Jr., supposedly.
Freddie Prinze Jr., I think
supposedly.
DiCaprio was up
all
for
the same
it,
people who were up for Anakin Skywalker, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, just about everybody. I think there was rumors, at least, of Nicholas Brendan from Buffy being a possibility. He would
but
be
all
good.
These pretty boys, who I could not... It's very similar to what Richard Donner said about casting an unknown for Superman. He wanted to... All these people were considered for Superman. Paul Newman, all these great stars of the late 70s, Paul Newman, et cetera. But his Richard Donner's problem with casting a big name was that he could not see any of these guys flying. He wanted to cast somebody who could play both roles, you know, both the superhero but anyway, I'm just saying that I thought that was interesting. I think that's an interesting little comparison to, like, mm-hmm. you know, Sam Raimi wanted to cast Peter Parker. He didn't want to cast a pretty face.
Yeah. So hence Tobey Maguire, of Cider House Rules and Wonder Boys and Pleasantville.
Mm. Oh, Pleasantville, that's probably my favorite Tobey Maguire movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think he was going to be that great in this part, but he actually turned out to be really
well. He's without question,
favorite part of the movie.
Without him, I mean, I don't think you have the movie. No, I don't think the movie's as good as, well, debatably it is. Mm-hmm.
Without question, my favorite part of the movie. I think this is a cheap little scare right here. I'm not a big fan of this.
This didn't quite flow for me. From that scene to this scene, they tried to make it work with a shock right there. But
that was just a really cheap scare, I thought. I mean, I think I jumped the first time I saw it in the theaters. But, I mean, beyond that, I just thought, well, you know, okay, what does that have to do with what's happening in the story right now?
Yeah. Again, he's trying.
Yeah.
His part just sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not exactly speech you cruise control potential, I think.
No, much better. Yeah.
Not exactly up to the stamina he was in speech.
This scene could have been stupid.
This scene could have been
turned out all right.
It did. I love the spider sense sound effect. That was a really neat little detail, I think.
Spider. And then his reaction to her talking to him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would be me.
Again, that's every guy. That's every geek who has ever just...
like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire rolling it off
right there. Right, so. He does. He does a really great job right here.
And actually, she's doing well right there, too.
Yeah, she is.
That's
for
really
the most
good.
Part, one of the scenes I find with Kirsten Dunst a little bit more tolerable than the others, but... Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Shot down. Well, not shot down, but like feeling really stupid after a moment where I know that feeling all too well. But yeah, this is neat.
Nice little thing. Introduced the fact that he can make his own webs. Another big controversy as far as one of the big changes.
Right. Well, this was actually James Cameron's idea that the web be more organic than it is in the comic book.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great idea because of the fact that, I mean, you know,
It would have been too much of a side story for him to like go off and have to develop the web,
he's
the web slinging device.
Costume, for crying out loud.
I mean, it would have been too much of a backstory.
I mean,
he could. Obviously, Peter Parker could do that. I think Tobey Maguire could have done it. I think Tobey Maguire could have pulled it off. Mm-hmm. But no, it would have been too much of a backstory. I think to have him go off and develop the web slinging device.
Yeah.
Which is how it's done in the theater or in the comic book. Excuse me.
Now, this is another interesting scene right here. This is
the Spider sense.
I thought this was really a good because I mean it's hard to show that. I mean, how do you show that? Mm. I thought this was a really interesting way to show that.
That being too Matrixy, which
a bit Matrixy, but
I mean Matrix has some good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
A few.
Everything's an homage to the Matrix now, I think.
Well,
the typical girlfriend of the big bully.
Mm-hmm. Really, the first act, I'm just completely disappointed.
This got some laughs, and you know, it's kind of an interesting.
It got some laughs, but I think they're all cheap.
He
laughs.
Actually did that, didn't he? Or did that shot? I know they mentioned on the director commentary.
That was a little weird.
Yeah.
A little cheap. That's very much Matrix.
Matrix was more well done than that.
I just think I have just such a problem with the first act because there's so much winking back at the camera. It's just like, you know, we're high school students. You know, I'm a bully. You know, just looking.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just there's just so much winking at the camera that I have just such a problem with it. Just, you know, it's trying to be too cute. And and the movie's supposed to be this edgy comic book movie, you know, and it's way too cute at the beginning.
I don't know how edgy they were going. Yeah, exactly. They weren't going for Batman. Yeah, I mean,
they were going for more of a combination.
This is more of a cartoony.
Type thing.
And I mean, the
most recent cartoon is, you know, kind of brought back the popularity. So I think they were trying to go for that mm-hmm. just a little bit.
This is an interesting scene in that, you know, it's very symbolic. It's symbolic without saying anything, I think.
And before we go on, I just have to point out a funny line that,
Harry.
Harry had.
Help him, Harry.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly.
And this music
is not.
Every time I hear it, it reminds me of the Sarlacc in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know why, Danny Elf. Well, the start of it, at least.
You know what?
The rest of it sounds a lot.
This cue, coincidentally enough, is not on the Danny Elfman soundtrack, which I was really disappointed with.
This is pretty good
stuff. That's really good Danny Elfman. I don't think it is. You want to give another listen later on.
I will give it another listen.
That particular cue.
We've got some pretty cheesy. I mean, you know it's CGI. Right. Let's face it.
He didn't. I thought he did all this by himself.
Yeah, he did his own.
That's a neat shot. I love that. Him jumping over the kids doing jump rope.
That was neat. That kind of made it so the CG didn't look quite so terrible.
Right, exactly. It kind of humanized it. It humanizes it again. Mm-hmm. It kind of gives it a kind of a spirit that is much needed that is not throughout throughout the whole movie.
Now, this one always got laughs.
Mm-hmm. And it's not bad.
It's not bad. It brings you back down to earth after the running over buildings.
Yeah.
How do you do the first throw scene?
This is some improvisation by Tobey Maguire, by the way, I think.
Yeah.
Which actually wasn't. I love the web slinging sound effect.
Yeah.
That sounds. So anyway, this is kind of, I don't know, you know, this is supposed to be fun, this is supposed to be funny,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I'm just not feeling it the whole time. I mean, again, it's very much misplaced humor, I think. I think it's kind of, it feels out of place, it feels a little awkward because, you know, you think,
I think it kind of should feel awkward because of the fact that, I mean, you know, you're sort of, this is very much George of the Jungle.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean,
for that brick wall.
They're putting so much humor into the story that, you know, you want to have some humor and fun at the beginning of the story because it's going to get really emotional and heavy, you know, towards the middle and the end. But I think it's been pulled off a little bit better in other movies.
I do think they tried. I mean, you can tell that they actually tried a little too hard to put the humor in there.
Right, exactly. I think some of it did work. Winking back at the camera, a little bit too much of that, I think, again. I don't think that the whole Mary Jane next door, the troubled girl thing next door was all that well staged. I wasn't impressed with that.
Well, you can see
again.
It's staged, of course.
You know, but like again, it does not help me.
It doesn't feel real.
It doesn't help me care anymore about the character than I already don't. That's probably just my two cents. I don't care anymore about Mary Jane than I did at the beginning, which. Just more winking back at the camera, more like, you know, well, you know, okay, this is the cliche white trash family living next door, and you know, mm-hmm. the troubled pretty girl. I'm just not feeling it. I think again, Kirsten Dunst's performance. You know, she's beautiful and she has a presence about her, but I think again, although I know Brian, you wanted Kirsten Dunst to be nominated for this, I think Brian.
I did.
Really?
I mean, they're. You know, I mean, bottom line
is,
with like best supporting actress,
I mean, best
supporting actress is the hardest one to find real legitimate nominees for because mm-hmm. it's the fact that most every year it's so shallow as far as the amount of real contenders, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, this year was no different. I mean, I, you know, I make no apologies for it. I thought she was wonderful. I mm-hmm. mean, I really thought she was
maybe
wonderful.
Best,
I was taken
maybe
by
best
it.
Fake hair head of red hair. I don't know, but you know.
I think she looks prettier with red hair.
I mean, let's put it this way. There was worse hair.
This scene right here, I don't know.
I'm not feeling
it. It was somewhat awkward. It was not too awkward not to work completely.
Well,
but it was somewhat awkward.
Yeah, and here's my philosophy on the whole Peter Parker, Mary Jane thing is that
I want to act.
Mean, they are from completely different worlds. They're not really friends. They're not really friends when the movie starts out.
Right.
And
they're trying to show that.
You know, you basically start. Basically, you're seeing the development of this relationship before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, you see that they're not from the same crowds. They're not from the same.
Well.
Place
you know,
as far as like family and all that, and it's like you basically see them develop this relationship. So it actually, you know, I know one of the things, Ron, you felt there was really no chemistry between.
I didn't feel it.
I mean,
I didn't feel any chemistry between these two characters whatsoever, except for
beginning, maybe. You don't really. I don't know how much you really need to.
Well, I think
see
that
but
the thing is,
but I think there's. Overall, it's not cohesive, but there are flashes of chemistry that do come through. Like, again, the scene in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
You know, some parts of that, there was some chemistry, again, but the whole scene was awkward. So there's flashes of it come through, but it's not a cohesive chemistry that you
I never looked at it that way, that it was, you know, supposed to feel awkward. You know, and that's an interesting angle to look at it from, but...
Well,
again,
maybe I'm stretching with it, but, I mean, you know, that's something I thought about. I think when last time we...
Brian, you didn't like this montage too much, did you not?
I don't think I had any real issues with it. I mean,
I like the choosing the suit montage better.
I mean, I did kind of feel the car going by her face and all that stuff is kind of silly. It's pretty silly.
I actually liked most of the montage.
I don't think you get the idea. I mean, I think you get the idea just by him looking at cars. This is better. Yeah. Mm. And it's helped immeasurably by Danny's score.
Right. Mm,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Danny,
I mean it wouldn't even work without it.
And Danny Elfman, let me just say. Yeah, they did a wonderful parody of this.
She has very pretty eyes, by the way. That's,
Oh, yeah. Oh, that music's great.
Yeah. Mm. Danny Elfman, one of the most underappreciated, underrated
film composers
in Hollywood.
Absolutely, I agree with you 100% on that one.
I mean, he was robbed of an Oscar, I feel, and I'm sure a lot of people feel for Men in Black.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is...
No, he was nominated for Men in Black.
He was nominated for Men in Black. Blatant product placement.
This is a good learning the power scene.
Yeah.
I like this.
It is.
I like how
it has potential.
It has
potential.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even notice the product placement until, like, the second time I saw it.
Has anyone ever noticed the spiderweb wallpaper?
Yeah, they mentioned that in the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, wow.
That's an interesting
subconscious. This was a funny...
This is neat. I like this. This is neat.
Yeah.
This is neat. I like that. That's kind of interesting.
Now, I'm wondering how he got all the way over to the house, or to the door, because I assume he was on the other side of those webs. But... Okay, now we can really get into the whole Goblin Norman Osborn thing later.
That one scene which we all have our quarrels about. But
I thought it was really good I'll talk about it then.
Uh huh.
I'll take the X.
I want to know how that's funny. I'm just, you know, like, the thing is,
it's called irony.
No,
okay.
it's just really lame old people humor, I think.
Well,
I just,
really
you know,
it's that, but...
That car is in every Sam Raimi movie.
It is.
Brian?
It is.
Yeah.
I remember that car fondly from Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead. And it's in Evil Dead 1 also, I think.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, and, right. And Army of Darkness.
You're right. It is in.
So, well, yes.
Yeah.
See, I know my stuff.
No, I mean, you're right. It is in every Sam Raimi film.
Was it in The Gift? Because I haven't seen that.
I can't remember.
Okay.
I'd need to see The Gift again before mm-hmm. I'm sure it was in there, but I can't remember where it was.
Now, the thing is, again, with here, I think this feels a little forced, this little awkward, parting, and then, of course, you know, obviously, this is going to be the last time these two ever have a moment together. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little obvious, you know. This feels a little...
Again, just like with Mary Jane, he has flashes of chemistry with his parents, mm-hmm. but cohesively, it all just doesn't quite work all together.
No, it doesn't. But this is obviously the last time these two are ever going to have a real moment together until after Uncle Ben is unfortunately taken from the story.
Right. And, you know, but you didn't... From this, at least, you couldn't quite tell how he was going to be taken out of the story.
Yeah.
You couldn't unless
you knew the comic book story,
mm-hmm.
which... Actually, the comic book story, I thought, was pretty well brought into the movie, you know, or transferred or translated into the movie, I thought, you know, for the most part. We'll get into that, obviously, because there's a little bit of the Spider-Man costume underneath. I thought that was neat when I heard that in the commentary. But anyway, mm-hmm. where is this at? This is at the library in
New York.
New York. I really do think New York looks really beautiful in this movie.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
The wrestling match.
Yeah, which works and then it doesn't work.
It
works, but then... That's Randy Macho Man Savage playing Bonesaw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I forgot about that.
That hurt.
I can't believe he would still be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not young.
No, he's not.
I mean, I don't know how old he is, but I know he's not young.
Hocked up
Bruce
on
Campbell.
Steroids.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell. Yeah.
The man.
I love that Bruce Campbell is in this.
He's rolling it off right here.
Don't call me Ash Campbell, who just brings so much irreverence to any part he plays.
Which is just about anything in Sam Raimi and not much else.
Right.
But he was in the next... X-File episode, I believe.
Yeah. He's like, I love the title of his book. I love the title of his book, If Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's a great title of a chapter in his book called The Bigger the Budget, the Smaller the Part, or something like that, which coincides perfectly with his part in Spider-Man, which is... probably the biggest movie he's ever been a part of, but yes, such
and will ever be
will
a part of.
Be a part of.
It's like 139 million.
I can't wait to see what his cameo. I can't wait to see what his cameo is going to be in Spider-Man 2, because I know
if he has a cameo,
I know he's going to have some sort of cameo in Spider-Man 2.
Well, you would think so.
I'm just positive of it because that's going to be interesting to see him play a different character. I think that's going to be a fun aspect of the next movie.
Yeah.
To see what different part he plays, because I know he's. I know Sam Raimi, because Sam Raimi actually does have a pretty good sense of humor about that sort of thing. He's going to find some place to put Bruce Campbell in, which I'm looking forward to.
Here's a great 30 seconds of the movie right here.
Yeah, exactly. I love that he's the one who named Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's neat.
That spider.
That sucks.
It's beautiful. Really
it sucks. And then he turns out to be the one who named Spider-Man. So maybe he'll have some other pivotal... but small part in the next movie. Maybe he'll be the one names.
The Amazing Spider-Man, again.
Dorkiest costume.
That's actually a really good joke right there.
Yeah, that was a really good joke.
It's not bad for, like, a...
This is funny, too. I love that. Sam Raimi's the one who throws this box of popcorn at Tobey Maguire right here. That's Sam Raimi.
I think he was
right
one of the hands pushing
he,
him out,
he was
too.
Also the hand that pushes him out, which is... Well, this always makes
isn't
me laugh.
Isn't his brother... Ivan in here somewhere.
He works in the Daily Bugle.
That's right.
My legs! Oh my god, I can't feel my legs.
Now this is like
what the hell?
I'm
where did this come from? This was just more more just what, where did that come from?
I guess the reason it had to be in there is so he could use his spider powers.
But that's the only reason it's there for
him. If not, he would have been creamed immediately.
Exactly, but I mean that's the reason. That, I mean,
there's some cool usage of his spider powers in this though.
Yeah,
I love this line though. Unlock the thing. Unlock the thing.
Yeah, that's Toby rolling.
That's
off
funny.
Acting right there. Brilliant.
I got you for 3 minutes. I'm constipated, so let's get this.
I was gonna say he does look constipated.
But that's sorry, well, that's a wrestling thing, I think.
Yeah.
This is some really good Spider-Man banter, I think, right out of the comic book.
Oh yeah, this is. Really
yeah, did your husband give it to you? That's I like that. That's some really good Spider-Man banter, which is straight from that pose is right out of the comic book too.
Yeah.
The chair. Use the chair. Which, yeah.
Getting his ass kicked right out of the comic book.
I was like,
oh,
yeah.
If that were real, and I'm certain it's not.
But the thing is, I have such a problem with, like, him bringing in all this equipment and the cage and everything, because, you know, you didn't see that from the, I don't know, for some reason I just have, because
I mean, it works because it's wrestling. But.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason that, you know, people believe it, you know, because, I mean, where was the cage and all the, and the chair and the crowbar from, like, from the previous match, you know, I'm just like,
well, they probably have like one specific.
It's just so
match.
It's just so Hollywood there.
Each time where it's like, oh, we've got to have a cage match.
I like Toby's eyes right here. I think this is kind of cute. This is kind of like
that was that's just good acting.
More
right there.
More talking with the eyes like we were talking about before. I think that's.
Were we talking about that before?
Well, we were talking.
You
about
may have been talking about it on the first
commentary.
I don't think we got. Yeah.
So yeah.
What I liked about the fight was the beginning of it, but I think it got a little bit less strong.
A little,
of it. Yeah, I mean,
a little less captivating. Yeah. You were not there with the characters the whole time.
Right, right. The beginning was very strong, but the end of it just wasn't that great.
It's the part where that's my problem.
New York accent.
Yeah.
Jackass.
I'm like, you know. Another guy that I'm like, where did this guy? What's with this guy? I mean,
well, there's significance that we see later.
Obviously, there is some significance to him being in the story, but I'm like, other than that, I'm just not, you know, I just didn't think. I want to believe every supporting character has an important part in this. But,
well, he does. I mean,
he does, but I mean, I just
Uncle Ben. By the way, if you haven't seen the movie and I just ruined
which
that.
Which I'm sure they have by now, you know.
Man, first of all, if you haven't seen the movie, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, don't listen to
a great cue by Danny Elfman.
Time you see the movie. Yeah.
Another really great.
Classic Danny Elfman. A lot of this is classic Danny Elfman.
It is, very much so.
It is a very excellent score.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This scene almost works.
I think this scene really works, but
this scene comes close.
I thought this scene really worked.
I mean,
well.
I think it achieves the level of working.
Yeah.
But overall, it's not that great. It's good enough, though. But it's not.
It's
that
just
great.
More. It's.
And you know, it's like, it's
you
one
know,
of those
it's,
things where
it's
like
where,
traditional
it's
movie thing where it's like he hangs on just long enough to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
him for the last time, and then he dies.
Yeah, but see, he doesn't say anything important, though, so I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, he doesn't go off for, like, 5 minutes talking about the treasure is in the... Anyway.
I like Tony Maguire's face acting here. You know, he just... Because he was, let's face it, he was given a really weak script.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but he took it and ran with it. So, I mean, and he just really looks... He looks the part, and when he's talking, you know, we're saying with Hayden Christensen and how good of a job he did with that god awful script for episode 2, you know.
Well, we weren't talking about Hayden Christensen,
but
episode 2.
But
we talk about episode 2.
We talk about him separately from you and I have countless
yes,
discussions.
We do have countless discussions on this.
Okay,
on this matter.
This is the music working beautifully.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
This scene right here.
This is
wonderful.
This is on the soundtrack.
Showing the spider? Nice.
Yeah.
That's weak.
And that's a little neat little transition from Tobey Maguire to the computer-generated Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Which,
I love the camera angles.
Oh, yeah.
I love the camera angles.
I mean, they're very smart.
This is the type of mute. It's like, you know, if you've seen any of the Evil Dead trilogy or even Darkman, which is highly underrated, by the way.
Amen to that.
Sam Raimi pick. I mean, nobody else could have directed this but Sam Raimi. I mean, nobody just has
I think somebody could have.
Unique style.
Yeah.
That I think.
Well, I don't think I don't think there's enough Sam Raimi in it. It's my problem. I think because there isn't enough Sam Raimi in this, somebody else could have directed it. That's my problem.
I mean, there's all again the
nobody
eyes.
I don't think anybody could have directed it as well as Sam Raimi.
No.
I mean, that's true. There's not a lot.
There's just not enough Sam Raimi in this.
That is true. Yeah.
There's way too much Hollywood in there, and
there's enough to where
this is where you're happy.
I can accept it. I mean,
which I can appreciate.
I can accept it as a
but this, let's talk about how great, how phenomenal this is. Like,
yeah, this is where
learning how to swing. Learning how to swing. That was brilliant, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is
absolutely
good.
Brilliant. The learning how to swing. That was done really beautifully with the animators and
well played by Toby.
Well, I don't
chances are it's not Toby.
Oh, yeah,
not too much of that is Toby.
just the eyes, you know.
Yeah.
They glowed the eyes through from Toby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the part where he stood up on the on the
right,
phone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
This guy's a little trigger happy, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
But they have to show him dodging bullets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the thing is, you know, again, I'm just not feeling the kid. You know, he's just too. He's too much of a cliche of a, you know, of a bad guy or just whatever. I'm just not feeling it. You know, I know he's not an important character to the story.
Move.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always got a kick out of that movie.
That's right out of Terminator.
You might
was
be
that,
right.
Was that in the trailer? That little, was that
the
trailer?
One where he jumps, where he leaps
jumping
onto the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was in the trailer.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
This is the
start of one of the trailers.
Where he essentially becomes a spider, which I love. Mm-hmm.
And you get the shadow and all that stuff.
Yeah, the shadow. But then the fact that when you see him lower down, I mm-hmm. get such a chill up your spine when he lowers down. Like, oh, that's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah,
that's you get cool. such a chill up your spine. Like, you know, he's gonna kick this guy's butt. So, yeah. He's gonna be the superhero everyone wants him to be.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like that Harry not really sure what he's gonna do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because
they do a really good job of
you do.
The
yeah, you do. You do. You are in a little bit of suspense
because
you
realize
you don't
want to
see you don't want to see Spider-Man kill anyone. But at the exact same time, you know Peter Parker wants to kill this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interest. It's interesting enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not. Because, you know, the thing is, I think the first time I saw this in the theater, I think the audience was more into it than I was, more feeling the dramatic irony of this than I was, you know, because there was such a gasp from the theater, from the audience, just like.
I think a lot of it helped.
It wasn't that big of a surprise.
Him saying thanks and that sort of flashback.
Yeah, that, you know, but it just wasn't that big of a surprise for me.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting how he doesn't kill him, you know, that, you know. I don't think Spider-Man ever kills anyone in the comic book. I mean, I could be wrong again, but you know, but based on my very limited knowledge of the comic book, you know, along with the commentary, which was somewhat helpful, the original director commentary from the DVD. But yeah, every comic book movie has this scene where like, this is in Daredevil. I pointed this out.
It was in Daredevil.
You know, just like, and I think it's in Batman too. You know, just like, huh, the police,
well,
like,
be
the police getting there like 30 seconds
that's
late.
The essence of Batman.
That's
the ver- yeah.
But like that's in every comic book movie, like the police arriving like 30 seconds late after the first caper, and they're like, oh, what happened? You know, I don't know.
I mean, it does play out like a typical comic book superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does play out. Like,
but the thing is, it's just in too many of them. That's my problem. But this is I guess you
this
have to
really
yeah,
works
you have to have a
thing.
Moment I guess like this. You
yeah.
know, and the thing is, it feel it, it again. I just feel like it's forced. I feel like this scene really isn't forced, especially because there's no talking.
Yeah.
And there was a great
just didn't flow for me.
Doesn't work at all. I mean, here you see him getting rid of the competition, but you're like,
yeah,
man,
but
who
you're
cares?
Like, what?
Get
what,
to the
how,
goblin.
What?
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, get to, just, I mean, you know it's him. But
you know,
it's
but
like,
it's like, okay, we have to get rid of the, you know, the goblin has to have his first run-in with.
And if they're trying to parallel the stories, you know, so, you know, you have Spider-Man doing his first thing, and then we have Goblin doing his first thing, but this didn't last.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
This is nothing. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Nothing happened. You know?
Again, yeah. I just have a real problem with the intertwining of the two stories, the Goblin and the Spider-Man story. It's just, it doesn't work for me.
No.
And I don't think this the effects in this are all that great either. I think the explosion doesn't look all that great. The bunker, that looks okay, but the bunker exploding I had a problem with.
Yeah,
I think that looks a little bit too rigged. I think, you know, I don't think like
nice dissolve to the graduation.
Yeah,
that's
questionable. It's questionable.
About the best thing you can say about it. I mean, you know.
Yeah. The end of the scene going into the next one.
Yeah,
that was the only good part of that scene. This graduation scene was interesting.
I see they
tried to squeeze in, you know.
Just
more
working with, you know, Peter, talking with Peter, bonding. And
yeah, more awkwardness.
Her breaking up with the big bully. Okay,
which I hated. Is like, the only reason I like the scene is because it's the last time we see Flash, but that's just me.
Flash has left the building.
Thank God.